Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Miriam Raftery with a special edition of Capitol Report for East County Magazine and KNSJ. House Republicans are threatening to shut down the federal government unless the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, is defunded. They have passed a resolution to continue funding the federal government, but it strips out all funding for the health care reforms. Speaker John Boehner has said this was not his choice, but that he yielded to the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. House Republicans say they will force the U.S. to default on our nation's debts if their version of the spending bill is not approved by the Senate and signed into law by the President. If a default happens, federal spending will stop, including checks for services such as Social Security and Medicare, federal employees such as postal workers, funding for national parks, the Forest Service, including firefighters, and more. The military, however, would be exempted, due to a previously passed bill to assure that military funding through September 30, 2014, will continue. The battle in Congress has caused a rift within the Republican Party. Senator John McCain, the former Republican presidential candidate, opposes Obamacare, but he said the effort to defund it is, quote, not rational because the Senate will not pass it. Moreover, President Obama has said that he would veto any such measure. Republicans argue that the health care reforms are too expensive and that Americans should have a choice of whether to buy insurance or not. Some have also raised concerns that insurance policy rates could rise for some individuals. Democrats have blasted Republicans for trying to take new health care benefits away from millions of Americans, including many children who were previously uninsured. Among other things, the Obama health care reforms require insurance companies to provide benefits to people with pre-existing conditions, provide coverage for preventive health care screenings, and enable parents to keep college-age kids on their policies. Congressman Van Hollen, the top Democrat on the House Budget Committee, has said on ABC this week that the same Republicans seeking to defund Obamacare, calling it too expensive, actually voted for a budget that relied on Obamacare to save money for the government and balance the budget in the next 10 years. He said, quote, now that's misleading and that's a hoax. They're not afraid that it's going to be unsuccessful. He said, they're afraid it's going to be successful and that all of that misinformation will be shown to be a fraud. East County Magazine recently interviewed Dana Dunbar, who's a local health insurance broker. She's been assisting people pricing out their options under new federal health care options rolled out in California, one of the states that has agreed to accept the federal health care funds and partner with the U.S. government on the implementation. Dunbar told us that nearly all of the people who have come to her so far have been able to get better benefits, save money, or both under the new health care plans, and that she feels there's a lot of misinformation as well. In some cases, the savings have been dramatic. For instance, a woman whose insurance company wanted to charge her $1,100 a month to insure her teenage daughter, who had been hospitalized for a week for a panic attack. Under Obamacare, her rate would drop to less than $200 a month. And also, people can keep their own doctors under the plan. Some have objected to the Affordable Care Act because it requires everyone to have health insurance. While there are subsidies for low-income and some moderate-income individuals to purchase this, some fear they may not be able to afford it, and others oppose it on principle. At an event in Barrett Junction last week, one area resident told me, I have never had insurance, and I guess I'll pay the fine rather than have the government make me buy it. Ironically, at the next table sat Jerry Fowler, a 31-year-old former truck driver who's now on permanent disability after falling down a well in Potrero, losing part of his eyesight and suffering a head injury. Fowler had no insurance, and he now faces over $1 million in medical bills, with no way to pay these staggering sums. Whatever other faults Obamacare may have, those who opt into this plan would never be faced with a dire situation like Fowler's, because there are low caps on the maximum that a person could be forced to pay out of pocket if they suffer a catastrophic accident or illness. Now, Senator Cruz of Texas, a Republican, says he may launch a filibuster if Senate Democrats try to strip out defunding the health care reforms from the spending bill. He said on Fox News Sunday, if the majority is going to run the minority over with a train, the minority has the ability to stop them. A poll taken by CNBC-TV, however, showed that only 38% of the American people polled support the Republican effort to defund Obamacare, while 44% oppose it. Some other polls have shown the opposite. But if defunding is tied to a government shutdown, the majority of the American people would oppose such efforts, 59%, according to CNBC. So who benefits from rolling back Obamacare, besides the individuals that oppose the reforms? The biggest financial beneficiaries would be insurance companies and pharmaceutical corporations. Lobbyists for these industries and others opposed to the Affordable Health Care Act spent over $1.2 billion seeking to prevent its passage. Some larger businesses also raised concerns over their costs to cover their employees. Those in support of the health care reforms included the American Association of Retired Persons, labor unions, and the American Medical Association, representing doctors. The AMA said it backed the plan to add insurance for 32 million uninsured Americans, although they would like to see improvements in payment rates to doctors for Medicare patients, another concern. This raises a question. Instead of demanding removal of all funds for health care reforms, why aren't House Republicans willing to look at changes to the law to make improvements where needed, rather than seeking to throw out even the most popular provisions of the Affordable Care Act? The effort to defund health care for millions of Americans, some of whom actually want those benefits, may be backfiring on Republicans. House Democrats sent a fundraising letter out blasting the Republican effort as an extortion tactic. Since Speaker Boehner announced the effort to strip Obamacare funding from the spending bill last week, House Democrats have raised over $840,000 with their fundraising appeal, fast approaching $1 million from voters who are speaking with their wallets. That may not bode well for Republicans in the next election, when Democrats hope to take back control of the House. San Diego's Republican congressional members, Duncan Hunter and Daryl Issa, voted for defunding Obamacare and the spending bill, paving the way for a showdown over a government shutdown. Democrats Susan Davis, Juan Vargas, and Scott Peters voted against the measure. Congressman Hunter wants to go even farther. He told constituents in a Fallbrook town hall meeting, "The problem with defunding is that on January 1st, Obamacare will still be the law. That's why we need to repeal it." But Congresswoman Davis said the proposal threatens our economy and the interests of the middle class. She said, "We face tough choices on how to resolve our fiscal disagreements, but a government shutdown or a default is exactly the wrong answer." The Congresswoman concluded, "Every day, people across our country figure out how to get their jobs done despite all sorts of disagreements. But for some reason, people here in Washington seem to have forgotten how to work together."
This is Leah Lansing.
And this is Leon Thompson with the East County Magazine Local Government Report.
This Tuesday,
September 24th, El Cajon City Council will vote on whether to permanently shut down red light cameras. Back in February, El Cajon's council voted to temporarily halt using the city's 10 red light cameras while a six-month study was conducted to see if there was any impact on safety. Now, a staff report recommends that council close down its red light camera program. Staff found the change in the number of accidents to be statistically insignificant. The cameras have long been unpopular with motorists who complain of hefty fines, typically several hundred dollars. But far from generating revenues for the city, the system actually cost $62,000 more than they brought in, due to staff time and fees paid to Redflex traffic systems for the cameras. San Diego and Escondido have already canceled their red light camera, and Poway, like El Cajon, has shut down its cameras for a six-month study to decide whether to end them permanently.
On Wednesday, September 24th at 9 a.m., county supervisors will consider a comprehensive renewable energy plan for our region. Environmental groups now warn that to appease SDG&E, they fear that some supervisors may ask that the plan remove a study of community energy or community choice aggregation. Community choice aggregation would give consumers an alternative to SDG&E. The San Diego Energy District seeks to enable homeowners and businesses to buy renewable power from their nonprofit energy cooperative instead of SDG&E. In an email, the San Diego Energy District cautions area residents, do nothing, and SDG&E continues to rule over San Diego with its insatiable appetite for increasing profits on the backs of ratepayers. San Diego consumers pay one of the highest utility rates in the nation. SDG&E raised rates September 1st and is seeking to boost rates even higher to force ratepayers to fund costs of decommissioning the San Onofre nuclear power plant.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery, and we are talking today about climate change, why we should care about it, and what we can do about it. My guest today is Eve Simmons. Eve is a guest lecturer at UC San Diego on climate change. She's active in the Citizens Climate Change Lobby. She has done lobbying in Washington, D.C., and with local elected officials on this important issue. She serves on the board of directors for the San Diego Energy District Foundation and on the County's Fish and Wildlife Advisory Commission. She has also been trained as a climate reality speaker in the past by former Vice President Al Gore. Eve, how did you first get involved and interested in climate change issues?
Hello, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here. As a child, going to the beach, loving that, loving nature, I'm an old hippie, and this has always resonated with me. And I was a wildlife guide at the San Diego Zoo. That was sort of my first intro into this.
So you were talking about climate change back in the 80s, mm-hmm. long before anyone ever heard of Al Gore, mm-hmm. or most people, uh-huh. and before it became a household word. How severe is climate change? We've been hearing about this for a while now, and are we making any progress at all on addressing this?
The scope and scale of this problem, I don't think can be overstated. It's the biggest crisis that mankind has ever faced. However, I am here because solutions exist. And this is solvable. But we really need something of a World War II effort to turn this around while we still have time.
Can you give us some numbers? How many parts per million of carbon is there in the atmosphere right now?
Last May, we reached 400 parts per million in the atmosphere, and very unpleasant realization for us because it hasn't been that bad for 3 million years, and that was long before humans were on the planet and the seas were 60 feet higher.
Now, we've seen a huge spike just in recent years. Since the Industrial Revolution, it's been going up and up and up. For those who say that it's cyclical, it's never been anywhere near this high before in the history of
mankind. It has happened. However, it happens over hundreds of thousands of years. Ice ages occur, come and go, and it's because of the rotation of the Earth around the sun. And this is not happening for that reason. This is because of man-made pollution.
Now, the last decade or so, we've seen a lot of industrialization of third world countries, places like India and China, where they're building more and more coal-fired plants. And in the last decade or so, what have we been seeing in terms of some of these landmarks of global warming?
12 of the hottest years on record worldwide have occurred in the last 15 years. And in the last 28 years, we have not had even one month below the historical average of the 20th century temperatures. So it's very severe.
What are some of the local impacts? Let's start here in East County. What are some of the things that we're seeing that you believe are tied to this ongoing climate change?
Well, warmer temperatures, of course, and many things that you're feeling here in this area are happening all over the world, and so it affects your food prices, the prices you pay at the pump, your insurance, disaster insurance.
Now, speaking of disasters, what about wildfires?
Absolutely. As everyone recalls, the terrible fires in Yosemite recently. The fire season is now 2 months longer than it was just 30 years ago. And the head of fire operations for the nation, Tom Boatner, has said that there's not a firefighter on the American West that doesn't know this is climate change because of the conditions, the severity, the size of the fires, the dryness.
Those of you that are listening who live on the coast, you're not off the hook just because you're not out here in the high fire areas. What could some of the impacts in the future be for coastal residents?
Well, anybody who likes fish, do you like sushi? Do you like tuna? We've been told by the experts that we may be out of pretty much everything we like to fish for. within 30 to 50 years.
Because of the oceans warming?
Ocean acidification.
I see.
Ocean warmer temperatures. Of course, overfishing is playing into that as well,
mm-hmm.
but that's a terrible problem. Storm surge due to our warmer weather.
How much might sea levels rise in the San Diego area if we begin to see a melting of the polar ice caps, which is projected could happen if this is not reversed?
Well, it is happening. The polar ice caps, the summer sea ice will probably be gone now in 3 to 4 years.
And how much will that raise the ocean levels here?
It won't, because the summer sea ice is the stuff that floats. If you have a glass of water with ice in it, yeah, that won't change the sea level. What is changing the sea level is the ice on land, and the volume of ice is decreasing at an incredibly alarming rate.
So Antarctica, Greenland, places like that?
Yes, north and south. Mm-hmm. And it's the feedback loop, the albedo effect, is causing the warming at the Arctic at both poles to be 3 to 6 times faster than the rest of the planet.
Now, I've seen some projections done by Scripps Institute, some of the top scientists on this issue in the world, by the way, right here in San Diego. And it's rather alarming. They've certainly shown portions of Coronado and downtown San Diego may be underwater. I don't know if that bodes too well for the plans for expanding a convention center that's already below sea grade. Now, if we look at what can be done about this, Eve, what can be done at the congressional level in the United States, at the global level, and beyond that, given that there's gridlock in Congress and a lot of people there who don't even believe in climate change, what can be done by individuals who want to try to make a difference?
A revenue-neutral carbon tax, which is advocated by James Hansen, our leading climatologist.
And it should be noted, by the way, that U.S. is the highest user of energy per capita in the world.
Yes.
I believe it's 30%. Is that right?
We are 5% of the population. We use 30% of the resources, and we create 30% of the waste. But yes, we are highest per capita as far as contribution to climate change in the form of greenhouse gases. A carbon tax would be a tremendous start, a revenue neutral tax on the oil companies, not on citizens. Citizens would actually get that money back in the form of a rebate check.
Kind of like
issued by the IRS.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's where it's happened in different countries. In every case, those countries have lowered their carbon footprints, and it's actually a money maker for the average citizen. In the big picture, it helps us lessen our carbon footprint and gets us off oil, because we've got to keep that carbon in the ground. We've got to get off CO2.
Now, speaking of industries that have long been subsidized, oil is one of them, and now we're seeing subsidies going into things that are well-intentioned but with some unintended consequences, such as the industrial-scale wind projects and the desert solar projects. And yet, there doesn't seem to be any rule to say, do these companies have to prove that they're actually saving more carbon, saving more fossil fuel than they're using? You know, in other words, if you build the wind turbines in a coal-fired generating plant in China or someplace and ship them across the ocean with fossil fuels and build and blast and bulldoze and do power lines and substations, and then say, oh, by the way, we need a gas-powered backup peaker plant for when the wind doesn't blow. Do you think that there needs to be a little more accountability in what we call green?
Absolutely. Accountability works both ways. So we absolutely have to have a holistic approach to what we're doing. However, there is also the absolute necessity of making a change immediately. And that's where a community choice aggregate would come in, which would be an alternative to SDG&E.
Mm-hmm. Which our supervisors are going
Wednesday
to be
morning.
Talking about
right.
this Wednesday.
And we would love people to show up for that, to say, yes, I would like the option of choosing renewable energy that is made locally in smaller ways.
So in other words, not from fossil fuels, not even from big wind or solar plants, but the option to buy power that's produced off people's roofs in other small-scale, locally generated
right.
ways.
And the thing is, we are entering into the sixth mass extinction on our planet. In 450 million years, we have had 5 mass extinctions. We're entering into this sixth one. And this is because of man-made climate change, because of what we have done. We're dumping 90 million tons of CO2 into our atmosphere every single day. And it has this tremendous effect.
Yeah, my degree, I might add, is environmental studies. And like you, I was studying about predictions about climate change and all these things that would happen that we're now seeing roll out before our eyes. Now, it's an interesting fact that for those who say, what can I do? And maybe they have a roof that doesn't work for solar, it's shady or something like that. You've said the number one thing is put solar on your roof, which is great and very affordable now. There are some people that can't do it. They have the wrong kind of roof or it's shaded or something. 40% of the energy out there, folks, in the United States is used in buildings. So what are some of the other ways that people can reduce their fossil fuel usage?
Yeah, solar is one of them. Not buying a fossil fuel car again is as equally important. Being a citizen, not just a consumer, right? We are citizens. Use your dollars as votes and use your voice, because we can and need to change this conversation and get people to understand and be active. We need to send that mandate to our leaders so that they understand the difference in this. And the truth is, in huge numbers, the vast majority of people, both Republican and Democrat, advocate strong action on climate change. We need our leaders to be accountable for this. Calling the media is a wonderful way of getting it out there. If you see an event like a fire or a flood, a drought, call the media and ask them to report on the link between this event and climate change. We need to get out there, and thank goodness for this station for getting out this kind of information.
Now, moving toward renewable energy and just using less, even for people who may still be skeptical on climate change, there's some good reasons to do it. There can be economic benefits, and certainly not being dependent on Mideast foreign oil and going to war over resources that we need in the Middle East is an interesting benefit of what you're advocating here. Tell us a little bit more about options for changing to electric vehicles. I understand that there is a new event coming up where people can get a look at some of these.
Yes, there's a National Plug-in Day, and Plug-in America, if you go to pluginamerica.org, you can see more information on this. But if you're interested in looking at electric cars, Liberty Station on Truxton Road, this Saturday, Google that and you can check it out. But you'll be able to check out all kinds of electric cars, from the very inexpensive to the beautiful Tesla Model S. That's one of the many ways, a great start.
Right. Certainly simple things for those that don't have enough money for a car, a solar panel. You can put insulation in your house, weather stripping, just change out your light bulbs there and get rid of those old incandescents.
Absolutely. But people don't realize, I think, how accessible our leaders are. Call, email, tweet, make appointments, go visit them. Mm-hmm. Go see, ask to speak to their energy aide, their legislative assistants are the ones that are actually crafting these laws.
So in other words, let them know that this is an issue that you care about and that you vote.
Right.
And you can find contacts, by the way, for all of your elected officials locally on our website. If you go to our Citizens Action Center, whatever your point of view is on any issue, you can go there and find out how to contact your senators, your congressional members, your state legislators, and local elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
Eve, where else can people go to get more information on climate change?
Citizens Climate Lobby is an incredible, wonderful source. James Hansen, our leading climatologist, said if you want to solve the climate crisis, join Citizens Climate Lobby. They're incredible.
He was formerly with NASA, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Also, 350.org. We have a San Diego chapter. They're very, very active, and is a tremendous voice for this movement. Sierra Club here, they are wonderful. They have a program run with the Sun. There are so many ways that you can be involved. And it's kind of like going to the gym, only more fun, because if you go on a regular basis, you stay with it, you keep up, and it does give you hope, and it gives you real tools to solve this, because we can.
Right. Now, I understand that 98% of the world's climatologists through the United Nations Climate...
Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Governmental Panel on Climate Change believe that global warming is real and that it is man-made. Beyond that, what else would you say to those who are still skeptical about whether climate change is real or whether it is man-made?
Every scientific academy and society in the world has said that climate change is not only real, it's man-made, and it's absolutely a crisis. The Department of Defense's number one concern is not Syria or Pakistan or North Korea, it is climate change. the Center for Disease Control, the American Meteorological Society, the World Meteorological Society,
right.
and on, endlessly.
As we get warmer, we can get more of these diseases.
Yes, they're absolutely all saying, yes, they know it's true. Deniers are people that either they don't know or they're people that are heavily invested in this. Either they're afraid, which it is, it's a daunting thing,
mm-hmm.
or there's so much money involved in this.
Yeah, I know sometimes I have readers say, well, you know, what about this expert that says there's no such thing as climate change? And invariably, when I've gone and checked them out, they always seem to fall into one of two categories. Either they're directly in the pocket of the oil industry and you can trace it back and find out all the contributions that they got from the fossil fuel industry, or they just seem to be hoaxers. There's one guy running around that claims to be a former member of the House of Lords, and he's not. I mean, are you going to trust a scamster, basically, with the future of our planet?
And I can understand. It's frightening. It's depressing. It means there's going to be big change. But we can do this in such a way that there's far more jobs in the green energy and renewables
than there are,
and they're much safer and long-term and guilt-free. And I understand that it can be frightening, but there are ways to solve this. We absolutely can. And what's happened in the corporations that have been in power on this are trying to put scientific fact as political opinion, and it's not. Scientific fact is fact. That's physics. Mother Earth doesn't care about our politics. Mm-hmm. It cares about the science, the physics.
Well, Eve, I want to thank you for coming on and helping to educate our listeners about this extremely important topic of impacting not only our region, but our world. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with
today? Thank you, Miriam. It gives me hope. Radio stations like this, media like this, really helps this cause tremendously. Thank you so much for what you do.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This is a public service announcement from CAL FIRE. CAL FIRE offers these fire safety tips to babysitters. If a fire starts, get everyone out of the house and call the fire department from a neighbor's telephone. Plan ahead and know your fire escape routes. Know how to get children out of their bedrooms if the front or back doors are blocked by smoke. Make sure you know in advance what all your fire escape options are. This fire safety information is for your safety and that of the children. Remember, be fire safe, not sorry.
You are listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio 89.1 FM, Descanso.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
This is Iris Neal. Join us for Job Talks, bringing you news about great jobs and growing our regional economy.
Job Talks on KNSJ's East County Magazine Show is supported by our listeners and by the nonprofit San Diego Building Trades Family Housing Corporation, building our future.
This is Iris Neal. Today we have a special guest, Sandra Williams, Associate Director, Employment Development and Campus Planning at San Diego State University's Career Services Department. Career Fairs provide a forum for current students, alumni, and employers to meet and talk informally about full-time, part-time, volunteer, and internship opportunities. Sandra, can you give us an overview of San Diego State University's Career Services and the role of the Employment Development and Campus Planning Department?
Sure. Thanks, Iris. Employment Development works closely with employers to create partnerships with the university. And we connect employers to students as well as to academic departments to provide opportunities for internships, part-time jobs, full-time placement for graduates, as well as for recent alums and alums who've registered with our center.
Great. What are the dates and times of the upcoming career fairs at San Diego State University?
Thursday, September 26th is our fall career and internship fair from 10 to 2:30 on North Love Library Walkway. And that is an outdoor fair. And so we anticipate approximately 99 employers and a few thousand students attending.
Great. I notice each career fair has a different theme. Can you elaborate on this?
We offer a career and internship fair posting opportunity in the fall and the spring. So throughout the year, we provide opportunities for employers to come on campus and meet students in an open venue, either outdoors or indoors, gathering resumes, networking with students, and connecting. We do also have some smaller fairs toward science and engineering students, another for business students, and we also provide graduate and professional schools with a chance to come on campus and connect with our students and provide recruitment for their programming throughout the nation.
Great. How many employers will be represented? And how do you select which employers will participate?
Employers are welcome to register with us, and they come on either as a nonprofit or a for-profit. Sometimes the fees are slightly different, but they register with us and come on campus. Many are employers who recruit also by posting jobs or interviewing on campus, but some employers only come to the career fairs. That's their primary form of interacting with SDSU students.
Can you tell us some of the employers expected to attend?
We have a wide variety from engineering and IT, from the nonprofits, San Diego City, County, and federal government entities. We have business services like Mitchell International, Automated Data Processing, First Investors on the financial side, Bridgestone Firestone, SeaWorld, Harrah's, Enterprise, Target, Aldi Grocers, C.H. Robinson on the supply chain. So we have a wide variety of employers. T.J. Maxx is at our career fair this year as well. So we have a real mix of employers from all areas of the marketplace.
Sounds like there's a lot of career fields typically represented. In which fields are you seeing the most job growth?
I think growth occurs across the marketplace. There are several areas which always remain strong and are growing. You know, financial services and accountancy is always an area that's going to remain strong throughout our economy and is hiring now. Entertainment, tourism in Southern California is strong and will continue to grow, as are the healthcare areas. And then we always have the other parts of the economy, depending on what's being produced in the United States, that are bringing on technical and engineering folks to help them create those new products that are being sent and produced here in the United States and beyond.
How long have you been offering these career fairs, and how successful have past career fairs been in helping students and alumni find employment?
I think well over 25 years, San Diego State University has provided career fairs for its students. And as the economy grows and shrinks, as we go through cycles in the economy, career fairs will get slightly smaller. So now we have approximately 100 employers. There were years when we had perhaps 120, and there were other years when we only had 85. So, you know, as the economy and the market changes, so the career fair reflects that need or demand from among the employers. Many students, when they graduate, give us feedback on how they found their position. And many find their position through an internship that grew into a full-time opportunity or through a career fair event or other type of networking event.
What should prospective job seekers bring to the job fairs?
You know, those interested in interacting with employers need to come dressed for success. So that's the first thing, is bring yourself, at least business casual. If you'd like professional, is fine. Employers are evaluating you from the moment that you step up to greet them. Come with a question. Students should do some research, and applicants make sure they research a company and have some intelligent questions that are oriented to that firm, as well as to perhaps an area that they may be interested in finding a position with that firm. They should bring their resume. If they have a LinkedIn profile, make sure they have that on their resume, and anything else they think they would like to provide for the recruiter.
If an employer wants to participate, who should they contact?
They can call the main number for career services. They can hop onto our website at career.sdsu.edu, and the information is right there, one click away, if they're interested in registering for a career fair. The fall career fair, we close registration at a certain point in time to help us manage the logistics, but they can always apply to get on the wait list or look at a future career fair.
How can students and alumni get more information about participating in these career fairs?
You know, within 90 days, all SDSU alums from 90 days of graduation have free and complete career services with our center. After that time, there is a small fee. Student alums can hop on the website. There is a guide for alums and look into whether they would like to use our services, whether for career counseling, job posting, and anything else they'd like to avail themselves of within the center. We have that policy to make sure that we meet our mission of serving students first and then assisting our alums, particularly those who are willing and interested in registering with us.
Great. So how would a former alumni go about registering with you?
On our website, there's a link for alums, and they can print out which option they'd like to pursue. If they want to use a full year of career services and are not interested in any career counseling, they just want job postings, it's a nominal fee, and they can come into our center and get set up so that they get their Red ID activated again and begin using services.
Can you tell us about some of the future career fairs that are coming up?
We have the Engineering and Sciences Fair in October. There is, of course, a graduate school fair, not for job seekers, but for those interested in graduate education. We have the Spring Career and Internship Fair, which is very similar to the one that we have next week. That's going to be in February. We hope that will be in the new Aztec Center, and we're splitting that into 2 days just to see how the space works for us. There may be a large space that works for all of our employers, or we may have to split it into a couple days. I know some employers will want to be there both days. We have a just-in-time fair that's in April, and we have a business fair for business students in the College of Business Administration in March.
Great. And the career fairs are free, of course. Thank you so much, Sandra, for being here today with us on Job Talks. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I just want to thank so much for the invitation to be here. I really appreciate it and getting the word out about our services on our campus.
Thank you for being here.
Howdy, this is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, and today I'm out here in Descanso at the Buckle Ranch with Tammy Cooker of Descanso Junction.
Hi Miriam, nice to see you.
This is a special occasion because the restaurant is getting ready to go through a big remodel.
Well, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary. The building that we're in is 100 years old this year. We decided to freshen up and upgrade our restaurant.
Now, today, there are representatives here with brands from over 50 ranches. Many of the oldest and most historic ranches all over East County have gathered together to burn their brands into the tables for Tammy's remodeled restaurant.
Harry and Joni Buckle have been unbelievable support. They opened their ranch for today's event. They have also donated historical stuff from the East County area that will be displayed in the restaurant.
Now you're having a very special bar made, I understand. Tell us about that.
Gary McClintock with McClintock Saddleries has donated a piece of cedar slab that came out of the cedar fire that will be our new bar top. It will be branded.
Now that has a lot of significance for you, Tammy. I understand when you opened that restaurant 10 years ago, it coincided with another major event in San Diego history.
We opened our restaurant 3 weeks before the cedar fire in 2003. We weren't real sure if we were going to have a restaurant left to come back to. Firemen up here and the volunteers were amazing.
Now, I understand there was quite a story behind this cedar slab.
It was saved by Gary's wife, and that it was going to be turned into firewood, and she couldn't see that happen.
That's a wonderful story. So were you out there cooking up meals for the firefighters during the cedar fire?
We did do that. The night of, we were open till 2 in the morning because the freeway was shut down. We tried to provide shelter and food and hot coffee for people that couldn't go east, west, north, or south.
Wow.
Then they evacuated the whole area, so it was quite the time.
Now, back to your remodel. Most salad bars have things that are grown, but you're taking it a step beyond.
We have another local customer. His name is J.R. Bailey, who has donated his time and his incredible talent. He's bringing in real trees and tree slabs, and we are going to definitely go back to an old rustic look that will have authentic cowboy look to it. And his work is absolutely amazing.
Now, Tammy tells us she's going to be adding some new menu items, too. The restaurant will be closing for the remodel starting October 7th with a grand reopening party October 10th, 11th, and 12th. And you can find it just off the Descanso exit north of I-8. And you can find out more at www.descansojunction.com. And now let's go back to the branding and talk to some of the participants. Now, some say this is the only time that so many ranchers have gathered in one place. Now we're going to talk to Bill Clark with Campo Creek Ranch, who's going to tell us what it was like to brand that bar made out of the tree salvage from the cedar fire.
It's a little harder to brand on a level piece of wood than it is to brand on a cow, because a cow is soft, you know, the muscle behind it is flexible, and so it doesn't have to be exactly flat on the brand.
And you know this by experience.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We brand, 100 head at least every year.
And how many bars do you brand a year?
This is the first one.
Next up, we'll be talking to Ross Province, who is on the board of directors at the Olaf Weghorst Museum in El Cajon. Olaf Weghorst, of course, was one of the most famous Western artists in America, and he lived and worked right here in East County.
The Olaf Weghorst brand is OW Quarter Circle 2C, and the OW, of course, is for Olaf Weghorst. The Quarter Circle 2C is for the Cunningham Ranch in Glenwood, New Mexico. When Olaf was a young man and just mustered out of the United States Cavalry, he went up to the Cunningham Ranch where he worked for a number of years. And the Cunninghams taught him everything he knew about being a Western cowboy, handling cattle, and busting broncs. During his career, Olaf was a mounted policeman in Central Park, New York, for about a 20-year period. And he was reputed to have saved over 300 people on runaway horses. And he was an excellent horseman. As a young boy, Olaf was trained as an acrobat in his native land of Denmark, where he was born. And his family actually made a part of their income from Olaf participating in the circuses around Europe. During that time, he met Wild Bill Hickok, had the Wild West shows going on in Europe. And that's when he fell in love with a horse. And that was his main subject during his entire career.
Now, Weghorst went on to become very famous. His paintings sold for more than $1 million in his lifetime, including to 4 or 5 different presidents who hung them in the White House. John Wayne was a big fan and even had a role in some John Wayne movies. A lot of history on this brand and others, so if you come out to the Descanso Junction and you take a look at that bar and those tables, there's a story behind every one of those brands. Ask Tammy Cooker, and she'll be glad to serve up some local lore along with some new recipes and some old favorites at the Descanso Junction.
I'm John Mattis, investigative guide, host of Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers, shining a light on shady deals all around us.
John Mattis has won 7 Emmy Awards, a Golden Mike, and the Edward R. Murrow Award for exposing fraud and corruption. Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers is produced by the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso.
John Mattis here with Investigative Guy, exposing all those scams. And wow, I've got some juicy ones today. Think about all those offers you get, those free dinners for financial planning, free dinners for living wills, free dinners for financial products. Well, here's a tip. Watch out. Watch out when you get those offers, because what they are offering is just for you to get scammed, for you to have your bank account lightened by con artists. What they love to do is get you into a room, offer you a free dinner, and then find out how many assets you really have, how many stocks you've got, what kind of portfolio you've got. And then what they're going to do is try to sell you a reverse mortgage or annuities or some kind of financial product. But their goal, and their aim is to get control of your assets and to lighten your wallet, to take your money and put it into their pocket. So you've got to watch out. So whenever you get one of these free offers, there's one going around right now offering free dinners at Butcher Block to tell you about financial planning. My advice, run away. If you've got an elderly relative, tell them. Don't let them go. It's dangerous, and all they're going to do is lose money at these schemes. These schemes have been going on for years, and all of the characters behind them, all of them have reputations, and all of them have records. So again, my advice, you get a free offer for a free dinner, walk away. It's dangerous, and they're going to sell you something that you didn't want, that you didn't need, and it's only going to make your financial portfolio shrink, shrink, shrink. Now, on to another scam that's really going on all over the county and all over the state. These online services that cold call small businesses and offer the small businesses help. We're going to help your reputation online. We're going to help you with Yelp. We're going to help you get positive comments about your business. Well, guess what? Half of these are run by con artists. Over half of these have con men trying to get you, the small business owner, to sign up with their service so that you're paying them once a month with your credit card. Well, once they've got your credit card, look out. Now, what they're really doing is they're claiming to take down bad stuff about you on the internet. And what in reality, oftentimes they do, they plant negative things about you and then offer to take it down. It's not much different than a shakedown. But watch out. One of them here in San Diego, I'm not going to mention their name, that they're named actually Reputation Impression, is run by a man who's awaiting time to surrender to go to prison for another boiler room he ran. So would you give your money, if you're a small businessman, to someone who's awaiting time in jail? Of course you wouldn't. So you've got to watch out about these schemes. These schemes are going on. And if there's an offer out there to help you out with your, quote, reputation, be cautious. Ask questions. Ask who's really behind it. And then only give them a one-month check. Check them out. So bottom line today, you got to check out these offers. If it's too good to be true, it's going to be a scam. I'm John Mattis with Investigative Guy telling you, watch out. Thank you.
The Sierra Club's San Diego chapter seeks public help to reopen its historic Foster Lodge on Mount Laguna and to rebuild a cabin lost in the Chariot Fire. While there was some insurance coverage, the chapter needs to raise funds to offset a $10,000 deductible and other costs not covered to get the lodge reopened. A wine tasting to benefit these rebuilding efforts will be held on Sunday, September 29th at 4 o'clock at the Mosaic Wine Bar, 3422 30th Street in the North Park area of San Diego. You must be 21 or over for this event. For reservations and tickets, contact richard.miller at sierraclub.org or call area code 858-569-6005. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This is Miriam Raftery bringing you an important health update. Another dead crow found in Lakeside has tested positive for West Nile virus. San Diego County officials are reminding people to protect themselves from mosquitoes that can transmit this disease. The dead American crow was the sixth bird that has tested positive this year for the disease locally. West Nile virus is mainly a bird disease, but it can be spread to people when mosquitoes feed on the blood of an infected person or animal.
8 out of 10 people who become infected with West Nile virus won't suffer any symptoms at all, and those who do get sick will mostly suffer mild symptoms such as headache, fever, nausea, fatigue, skin rash, or swollen glands. However, in rare cases, people can suffer neurological complications, and this can be life-threatening, especially for those over 50 or people with weakened immune systems. While no one in San Diego County has been diagnosed with West Nile virus yet this year, 117 people across the state have contracted it, and last year was one of the worst on record across the United States with 286 deaths from this disease. Jack Miller, director of the County Department of Environmental Health, says the good news is you can protect yourself by taking some simple steps. Prevent mosquito breeding by dumping out or removing backyard water sources that can become breeding grounds for mosquitoes, such as plant saucers, rain gutters, buckets, old tires, or even children's toys. If you have a swimming pool, pond, fountain, or horse trough, you can use mosquito fish to control mosquitoes. Protect yourself from mosquito bites by staying inside when mosquitoes are most active, usually dawn or dusk, and wearing long sleeves and pants when outdoors. Use insect repellents that contain DEET, oil of lemon, eucalyptus, or other substances that repel mosquitoes when you are outdoors. And keep screens on doors and windows in good condition. Report dead birds and green neglected pools of water by calling County Vector Control at area code 858-694-2888. The county also asks that you report dead crows, blue jays, ravens, and birds of prey. The county also has a new West Nile virus app for smartphones. This allows you to submit reports to County Vector Control and snap a photo, type in the address, and just send it in. You can also get information that way. The app is available on the County App Center at www.sdcounty.ca.gov/appcenter. Just look for the Fight the Bite logo.
Our next interview was done out at the Barrett Junction Cafe. The tape's noisy because it's a bustling place with a lot of people, cowbells on the door every time someone comes in and out. But it's an important interview as we bring you an update on Jerry Fowler, the young man who is now home safely after falling down a well in Potrero several months ago.
This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ and the East County Magazine Show, and my guest today is Fel Fowler. Fel's son is his miracle son, Jerry. Many of you may remember the story of Jerry falling down a well, 35 feet, down a well in Potrero back in March. And Fel is here with some good news to tell us about his progress and his recovery. Fel, welcome to the show.
Jerry is doing great. He's on permanent disability. He's blind in his right eye. But physically, he's doing fantastic. He's gained over 30 pounds back that he lost during the accident. He went to see the doctor today. He looked over the report and asked him, why is he still alive? He couldn't see a guy who went through as much as he has and still be alive. He is doing fantastic. His attitude is outstanding, and he's my miracle boy. And his wife has taken good care of him, and his son is doing real good. But he is a fantastic boy for falling 35 foot on March the 10th. I just want to say he's alive and he's doing great.
It's had to be just terrifying for you, Fel. Walk us through, if you can, what exactly happened that night and what it was like for you while you were waiting for him to be rescued.
We was pulling a pipe out of the hand-dug well, and we was pulling the last 20-foot piece of pipe, and we're standing on the top deck of the well. It's 5-foot diameter, 4 inches thick of concrete, and it gave away. And I don't remember it, but I grabbed hold of the side, and I seen my son falling down the 35 foot. And for 2.5 hours, I could hear him moaning down below, so I knew he was alive, but I didn't know what kind of shape he was in. And they waited for a special rescue team from Chula Vista to come out to pull him out. And they got him out, and they couldn't tell exactly what's wrong, but he was unconscious. And so on the helicopter on the way in, he passed, and they brought him back. And he was in a coma for 3 weeks, and they induced 2 more weeks, and he came back. But his memory, he did not lose none of his memory prior to the incident or after he came out of the coma. He has a good memory.
Well, we're all so grateful for that. I know we had our reporter Nadine at the scene, and we were all certainly pulling for him and hoping that he would do well. Just to recount the extent of his injuries now, as I understand it, he had broken his breastbone that holds the rib cage together. He had an injury to his spine, a head injury, kinds of other things, because he fell and hit his head on the way down. It's just amazing, and the doctors said that it was a miracle that he was alive.
Yeah, they didn't know the extent of the injuries when he had, and he was losing about a pint every hour on his intestinal organs that got erupted from the impact in the bottom. And he didn't have no broken legs, no broken arms, but his impact was on his spine a little bit and his skull. He had a real bad impact on the right side of the skull, which actually damaged his right eye. But his left eye, which from a childhood, he has 40% sight. If he looks at somebody in the face, he cannot see their face, but he can see all around them. And he can see color. And he's been like that since he's 9 years old. And the doctor had done a good job at the hospital and saved him. And they didn't know for about the first 30 hours if he was going to make it or not. But he's doing fine, and he's, like I say, he's been on 30 pounds, walking good, and it's just a miracle that he's alive. And he was a truck driver, and his boss didn't realize what kind of man he had. He hired a guy to take his place, then he hired to hire two more, so he got three guys where there was one guy. And his boss didn't realize what kind of person he had working for him. But so he had to give up his Class 1 license. He could haul anything except passengers or hazmat. Now my ex-truck driver, and I rode with him when he had one eye, and he was good as I was. And I got over a million miles on the road.
Wow. That is hard work, and to have to give that up and be on disability has to be a tough, tough thing to do. Now, how's the family doing? They live out in Potrero, and I understand he has a wife and a 10-year-old son. And how are they doing? What about the medical bills? How is the family coping with this financially, Phil?
Well, had no medical insurance.
Ooh.
He was living on my property, and if I brought somebody from outside to work to help me on the well, the insurance would have covered him. But since he's living on the property and is basically a renter, the insurance wouldn't cover him. And his first month bill is over almost $900,000.
Wow.
And then the state kicked in after the first month because him and his wife, in the first 10 days of the month, they made a couple hundred dollars too much income for the state to cover him. And so they're on state disability, and they want to turn him over to Social Security. So he's been down to the Social Security office to apply like the state wants him to. So it'll be a couple months before we find out what happens there.
I think this is a real commentary on the state of healthcare in America when we have somebody who's a hardworking guy, worked hard all his life, one bad accident, it's not his fault, and all of a sudden he's got almost $1 million in over $1 million in insurance bills. How on earth do you recover from that? Are there fundraising drives? Is there anything listeners can do to help him?
Well, we had fundraiser to help him out, some bills and everything else where the money come in. The community and people, I'm president of Kiwanis and Patrol, mm-hmm. and the Kiwanis, they all pitched in and sent money. We had donations come from people all over San Diego to help him out. And I sent one reply of his update to everyone I had an address to. And about another month or two, I'll be sending another one to all the people that I do have address on his progress. Because I want to thank all these people for what they donated to somebody they didn't know to help my son. And I just want to thank everybody. Now on the bills, I don't know what they're going to do with the bills. I mean, I'll offer to pay them $1 a month until it's paid for, but so I don't think I'll be around that long.
Yeah. Is there a fund established? I mean, if some listener out there today wants to help out.
Yes, they can send it to Petrel Community Center Foundation. We started up in Petrel Foundation a couple years ago to help people that comes in a situation like this, but I didn't expect it to hit home. But it's go to Petrel Community Center Foundation in Petrel, California, area code 91963. And you can put in attention Jerry Fowler. Thank you. If you do this, thank you very much from the bottom of our heart.
Very good. We certainly hope some of our listeners can help with that. Bell, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and we certainly wish you and your son Jerry all the best and hope he continues to recover.
Thank you.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's live radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.